Okay. If Paul Barker were here, a couple of you would have had to do a paper. But he's not here, so. Questions so far? Are you learning anything?
Yes.
What if my people... Yes.
Just a clarification. Correct me if I'm wrong. Career direction talks about career path, right? In an organizational point of view, it talks about ladders or different layers of organization. And in your lesson, it says there are 5 structure and processes. What if one of the career direction or path is not included? Will we still consider it as a good structure?
Okay, good question. The career path is the least important of the structures, okay? But it is an important structure because even in ministry, people hit a dead end. And they figure, is this really my gifting? And if it is not, what do I do now? Leave ministry? Or is there other ministry areas I can go to? So that's the only reason. And it does not have to be ladder. It can't be ladder, okay? So the idea is to have a robust enough career possibility so that people don't, for all we know, they just missed out on their gifting. And they will discover their real gifting as they expose themselves to other ministries. Okay? What if my people are volunteers? Well, first of all, my sympathies to you. Okay? God bless you. You need our prayers. But the more you need job descriptions, the more you need the mission, the more you need the vision. In fact, they volunteered because they are inspired by the vision, inspired by the mission. Ang toka mo dyan, oh, klaro ba job description niya? Kasi ako volunteer ako noong araw eh. Oh, nandito na kami. Eh, hindi na maalam ng ministry head anong gagawin sa amin. Anong gagawin natin? Wala. Magtusko na lang tayo ng mata. So, you know, let me tell you what happens to volunteers. Okay? They are underutilized. And some are dying because of burnout, because of an imbalance, because the volunteers are not managed well. And boss, guess who will be accountable to the Lord? The one who is heading the volunteers. Okay? So, pag may volunteer ka, be sensitive. You have to even be more professional as a people manager if you have volunteers. Kasi yung mga yan, ang tukso ko dyan, the Department of Self-Righteousness. Kasi, volunteer ako ha, wala akong bayo dito. Oh, sumulpot ako, ano. Tapos, ang daming pintas niyan. Oh, pintas dito, pintas doon. Kasi, volunteer ako, bakit? Ba't kayo ganyan dito? Ang gulo-gulo niyo. But you had the people who are handling volunteers need to be even more professional. Because these people, yung puso nandun na eh. The enthusiasm is that sumipot eh. Walang bayad. And it behooves us to create the job descriptions and, by the way, create performance appraisals so that they are encouraged. Oh, sister, brother, hindi mo sinabi, hindi ka pala happy sa akin eh. Kung sinabi mo lang, binago ko sana ang ano ko. Kasi yung puso niya nandun na eh. Are you with me? Okay. Yung sa volunteer, hindi mo na kailangan career path. That's for sure. But there are other ministries that they can volunteer for if they get bored with the ministry they're in. Okay. How to become a 5-star people manager? Number one, make sure 5 structures and processes are in place. Number two, become a person of influence, not just one of authority. Leadership is influence. Nothing more, nothing less. That is not John Maxwell. That is J. Oswald Chambers. Mr. John Maxwell added, the true measure of leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And he wrote a book on that basis and made a lot of money. You see. But Mr. J. Oswald Chambers, the missionary, was the first one to say, leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. Persons of authority only get compliance, the minimum required. Persons of influence get commitment, the maximum possible from the people they lead. Your goal as a leader or people manager is to elicit commitment, not just compliance. Okay? Compliance is, I have to do this. Commitment is, I want to do this. In fact, I love to do this. Compliance is, I'll just do enough so that my boss does not get angry. Commitment is, I'll go for the best contribution I can possibly make. Compliant behavior, I just work here. Committed behavior, I have a stake here. Okay? How many of you are parents? Raise your hands. All right. How many of you are parents of teenagers? Raise your hands. Okay? Parents of teenagers, I have two things to tell you. Number one, my sympathies. Number two, there is life after teenagers. Exhibit A, Alex Castillo. I have four children. The youngest is now 25. I have graduated from teenagers. I have survived teenagers. Mothers, what do you want from your teenagers? Compliance or commitment? Now, if you say commitment, be careful. Because we were shocked one day, hindi pa uso nun yung razor cut eh. Umuwi yung anak ko eh. Lambuhok. Saan ka nangyari dito? So, eh, siyempre, you have to be cool. If you know inside, buwisit na buwisit ka naman. What's happened to my son? But you see, if you want commitment, you forget the form. You look at the heart. And as a parent, you have to brace yourself. If you want commitment, then try to be cool. Okay? And because compliance is, I'm going to behave because dad's looking. Commitment is, I'm going to share dad's values, even though dad's not around. Now, that's what we want. So we have to be relaxed on the compliance side if we want the heart. Okay? If you want the heart. Okay. If you have a 2-year-old child, what do you want? Compliance or commitment? Compliance. You better want compliance. If your child is about to put her finger inside the socket of an electric power socket, you cannot say, now, sweetheart, is that really a good idea? Or, you know. No, you're going to say, no, you don't do that. You're going to step in like a tyrant. Okay? Because you want compliance when there's a crisis. If there's a fire going on, you're not going to say, okay, folks, let's brainstorm. What's the best thing to do? No, there's a fire marshal and there's a fire exit. Let's get out of here. Okay? But other than that, other than critical conditions or very, very immature, very young children, you go for commitment. Okay, compliance is superficial. Commitment is heartfelt. Okay, how do you do that? You cultivate commitment by building strong relationships. So the question is, what's the quality of your relationships? We have a survey form. How strong are your relationships? Think of 4 work and 2 home relationships. Rate and put the names of the people here. 1 to 4 are work relationships. 5 and 6 are home relationships. If you're married, your spouse and one of your children, pag kung malaki-laki na. If you're unmarried, a parent or a sibling, or a friend, a girlfriend, a boyfriend. Rate how each person thinks of you overall in terms of trustworthiness, sincerity, openness, fairness, and approachability. All of that in one number. Okay? So, I'll give you 5 minutes, maybe 3. Okay? Yes. 2 minutes? Okay. So, 4 work relationships, 4 names at work. Hopefully, direct reports to you. Wala kang direct report, the people who you need to relate to accomplish your job, and 2 home relationships. Okay? Do not overthink. You have 2 minutes. Ready? Go. If you are finished, go to the next survey. How well do you know each person? The same names, 1 to 4 and 5 and 6. And answer, time's up. Okay, let's process the exercise. How strong are your relationships? What is the quality of your relationships? What do you think is the better measure of the quality of your relationships? The first survey or the second survey? Okay. Yes, quality is determined by how well do you know the people. Okay. How well do you know the people you work with? Well, compared with the people you live with, who do you know better? People you live with? You know, in corporate, in seminars outside, half the people will say, you know what, I just discovered, I know the people I work with more than the people I live with. Because I spend more time with them. And one guy was almost in tears. He probably a late 40s guy. He told me, you know, Alex, I just realized I don't know my family. I know my people. So why is that? What makes you know one group of people more than other groups? Time? Very good. In fact, time and what else? I mean, you can spend time with people and not communicate. You know? Yeah. Yeah. You interact, okay? Why don't you know the people you work with more? Yeah, why don't you? That's the answer. Why don't you care? Should you care? You want to become a person of influence, not just one of authority. There's nothing wrong with authority, okay? But if you stop at authority, okay, I'm the ministry head, I'm the one in charge, you obey me, you will not get the best from people. You will not get the most from people, okay? So even as a parent, if you become very authoritarian as a parent, you won't get the best from your children. In parenting, there's a balance between authority and relationship. I mean, if you go for obedience from your children, you kind of miss out on the relationship. Okay, I'll obey you, but I won't open up to you. Okay? I'd rather you disobeyed me as long as you opened up to me. Now, but how will I open up to you? You're so masungit. Oo nga, ano? So I should learn not to be masungit. And I realize as a father, I am responsible for the environment in my family that will determine whether my children open up to me or not. And you know, I found out something. I've been a corporate executive, and I was a volunteer pastor. I mean, was I crazy or what? I mean, yung pastor pala, wala nang oras eh. E tapos corporate executive ka pa. And I look back and I ask myself, what was I thinking? Really? And so I missed out on my family. And I have repented big time. Part of the reason I took early retirement is spend time with my family. And so I'm now I'm still CEO, by the way, at home. Chief Errand Officer. You know. And from CEO of Del Monte to Chief Errand Officer of my house. By the way, I'm also COO. You'll never guess that. COO ng OO. So, but you know what? I've never been happier. I'm making up. I am the servant. Dad, nag-crash yung laptop ko. Dad, kailangan ko ng job description. Dad, you know, kulang na ako magtrabaho doon sa kumpanya nila para sa, you know, it's so funny. The boss of my son I won't tell you who. I'm counseling. For free. Sabi ng anak ko, Dad, may problema yung boss ko. Pwede mo pang kausapin. Sabi ko, pambira. Ikaw pwede, anak kita eh. Pero yung boss mo, dapat may bayad yan. No, he wants to talk to you kasi he wants to pick your brain daw kasi you have a lot of experience eh. So here I am, okay. Condition number one, he has to pay the lunch. Oh, naman. Number two, so he was a nice guy. I mean, a really nice guy. But I told my wife, sobrang ata to. I mean, yeah, I had to make up time with the kids, but pati yung boss ba nila, problema ko pa yung problema. Well, sabi ng asawa ko, hey, you want to connect with your children? That's the deal. So I am rebuilding relationships. By the way, that's the good news. If you have broken relationships, hey, you can always rebuild. Okay, and it's really, now, when you're dealing with children, it's easier, I think. But when you're dealing with adults, and all my kids are adults, I learned to become part of the furniture. What do I mean? You know, you're looking for a magic moment. Magic moments don't occur all the time. A magic moment is when your daughter comes home and she's upset about something. And she needs a parent to talk. In fact, she tells me, I need a parent. Dad, I need a parent. Okay, parent, coming up. Here I am. Parang ano, on demand, you know. And then she opens up to me. That's a magic moment. But if you're not around, kasi the magic moments cannot be scheduled. Hindi mo pwede i-text yung anak mo, oh anak, mamayang alas 8 ng gabi, pwede ba wag magic moment ka dyan para, and I'll be around? No. So, you become part of the furniture. What do I mean? You're there. Just in case there's a magic moment. You know what the furniture is, right? Dinadaan-daanan ka lang. Pero pag kailangan ka, gagamitin ka. So, sometimes, you know, my family whizzes by me, ooh, gee, you know, they're going all through their lives. But I've learned, well, I missed it when they were kids. But I don't care. While I'm still alive, I'm going to make up with my kids. Okay? And so I am the CEO, the COO, you name it. But I am building or rebuilding the relationships. Okay? And it takes time. A lot of time. The older your kids, the more time you need. And I the most precious to me is I am the engineer of vacations. Okay? And I plan our vacations well in advance because I know that is magic moments concentrated, okay, in a very pleasant environment. Okay, so build your relationships. You want influence? You want to be a good people manager? Build relationships. How do you do that? You strengthen relationships by being a genuinely caring person, because people respond well and commit to managers who care for them. Napakasimple po niyan. When I go back to my career, who are my favorite bosses? Those who were nice to me. Of course, as I grew up, I began to like even those who were mean to me because they taught me a lot. Okay? So, if you're genuinely caring, people will respond to you. You will be influential to people. Of course, tapos na tayo dun sa structure, ha? Okay? So, hindi lang tayo, nandito na tayo sa touchy-feely department. Tapos na tayo dun sa structure na nanlalatigo ka, job description, performance appraisal, tapos na tayo ron. Presumed na yan. Kanya itong touchy-feely na style na to will thrive within that structure. Kung wala yung structure na yun, puro ka lang nice. Walang mangyayari sa buhay mo as a leader. Do you remember Patch Adams? Robin Williams, correct? He was a medical student, and he cared for people so much that he broke a lot of rules. And so I took a clip from that movie. It's about 10 minutes. We'll show it, where he was being heard. His case was being heard. Should we let this man graduate or not? And so let's view it, and then let's process it afterwards.
Thank you. Hunter Adams. You've been accused of practicing medicine without a license. It's a very grave charge, son. Are you aware that it's unlawful to practice medicine without a medical license?
Yes, sir, I am.
Are you aware that running a medical clinic without the proper licensing can place both you and the public in a great deal of danger?
Is a home a clinic, sir?
If you are admitting patients and treating them, physical location is irrelevant.
Yes, sir. Will you define treatment for me?
Yes, treatment would be defined as the care of a patient seeking medical attention. Have you been treating patients, Mr. Adams?
Well, sir, I live with several people. They come and go as they please. I offer them whatever help I can.
Mr. Adams, have you or have you not been treating patients at your ranch?
Everyone who comes to the ranch is a patient, yes. And every person who comes to the ranch is also a doctor.
I'm sorry.
Every person who comes to the ranch is in need of some form of physical or mental help. They're patients. But also every person who comes to the ranch is in charge of taking care of someone else, whether it's cooking for them, cleaning them, or even a simple task as listening. That makes them doctors. I use that term broadly, gentlemen, but is not a doctor someone who helps someone else? When did the term doctor get treated with such reverence as, oh, right this way, Dr. Smith, or, excuse me, Dr. Scholes, what wonderful foot pads, or, pardon me, Dr. Patterson, but your flatulence has no odor. At what point in history did a doctor become more than a trusted and learned friend who visited and treated the ill? Now, you ask me if I've been practicing medicine. Well, if this means opening your door to those in need, those in pain, caring for them, listening to them, applying a cold cloth until a fever breaks. If this is practicing medicine, if this is treating a patient, then I am guilty as charged, sir.
Did you consider the ramifications of your actions? What if one of your patients had died?
What's wrong with death, sir? What are we so mortally afraid of? Why can't we treat death with a certain amount of humanity and dignity and decency and, God forbid, maybe even humor? Death is not the enemy, gentlemen. If we're going to fight a disease, let's fight one of the most terrible diseases of all, indifference. Now, I've sat in your schools and heard people lecture on transference and professional distance. Transference is inevitable, sir. Every human being has an impact on another. Why don't we want that in a patient-doctor relationship? That's why I've listened to your teachings and I believe they're wrong. A doctor's mission should be not just to prevent death, but also to improve the quality of life. That's why you treat a disease, you win, you lose. You treat a person, I guarantee you'll win, no matter what the outcome. Now here today, this room is full of medical students. Don't let them anesthetize you. Don't let them numb you out to the miracle of life. Always live in awe of the glorious mechanism of the human body. Let that be the focus of your studies and not a quest for grades, which will give you no idea what kind of doctor you will become.
Mr. Adams, please turn and
don't
address
wait
the
till you're on the ward to get your humanity back. Start your interviewing skills now. Start talking to strangers. Talk to your friends. Talk to wrong numbers. Talk to everyone.
Mr. Adams.
And cultivate friendships with those amazing people standing in the back of the room. Nurses, they can teach you. They've been with people every day. They wade through blood and shit. They have a wealth of knowledge to share with you. And so do the professors you respect. The ones who are not dead from the heart up. Share their compassion. Let that be contagious.
Mr. Adams, I demand that you turn and address the board.
Sir, I want to be a doctor with all my heart. I wanted to become a doctor so I could serve others. And because of that, I've lost everything. But I've also gained everything. I've shared the lives of patients and staff members at the hospital. I've laughed with them. I've cried with them. This is what I want to do with my life. And as God is my witness, no matter what your decision today, sir, I will still become the best damn doctor the world has ever seen. Now, you have the ability to prevent me from graduating. You can keep me from getting the title and the white coat. But you can't control my spirit, gentlemen. You can't keep me from learning. You can't keep me from studying. So you have a choice. You could have me as a professional colleague, passionate, or you can have me as an outspoken outsider, still adamant. Either way, I'll probably still be viewed as a thorn. But I promise you one thing. I am a thorn that will not go away.
Is that all?
I hope not, sir.
We will adjourn briefly. Hunter Adams. We find your methods less than appealing. Your appearance and your demeanor do not reflect what we believe is necessary to earn a patient's trust and respect. You openly accuse us of adhering to time-honored practices that for years have been the backbone of the entire medical institution. However, we find no fault in your attempts to improve the quality of life around you. We find no fault in your desire to expand upon existing medical practices and theories. We applaud your love of the patient. Your grades are among the highest in your class, and therefore we find no merit in the decision to block your graduation from medical school. With your crass and disdainful behavior, you carry with you a flame, which one could only hope would spread through the medical profession like a brush fire. And, Dean Walcott, in the future, I think matters like this could best be solved if you yourself would practice a little excessive happiness.
Sorry, we had to cut that off. What was special about Patch Adams? Why was he a good connector with people? He cared. He had a passion. How did he show his care for people? What was his admonition to the students? John Maxwell said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. There was a survey among 2,000 female teenagers in the U.S. who all went through teenage pregnancy. And they were asked, what happened? The vast majority of the answers was a distant father or an absent father. Lacking that relationship with a male parent, psychologists say, created in the young girl a longing for male approval. As a result, they sought that male approval with their male friends. And the promiscuity had nothing to do with sex. It had everything to do, by and large, with a lack of intimacy with a male parent. Okay, so as a parent, that really grips me because, wow, I said, how many of us fathers take for granted the need to build relationships with our children, especially with our daughters? Now, I'll pretend Lou is my daughter, okay? My daughter needs to experience my physical touch. And she needs to, you know, get it from me eyeball to eyeball or eye bag to eyeball, okay? She needs affirmation. She needs to understand that I approve of her so that her self-esteem as a woman is built up, okay? So your kids need to hear it. They need to feel it. Pag lalaki iba. You know, I mean, I have three boys and one daughter. And so I have to switch from being brutal to being tender. And sometimes I get confused. How do you show genuine interest in people? Okay, before the break, we have one more exercise. On page 7, there are two sets of questions, basic information questions and reflection conviction questions. I want you, within 60 seconds, to choose 7 questions. Any 7 questions from basic information and any 7 questions from reflection conviction. Ready? Go. Just encircle the number. Go. 60 seconds. In fact, 30. I need 7 from each set of questions. Okay, time's up. I want you to look around the room, look at someone you don't really know that well, and sit down with that person. If the person beside you, you don't know that well, that's fine. I need you to get a partner, okay? I will give you 30 seconds to get a partner. Sit down beside your partner. Ready? Go! 2. Okay, who does not have a partner? Okay, Karen, can you be a partner? All right. Okay, you guys need to sit down. Okay, decide who is partner A and who is partner B. Who is partner A and who is partner B? All partner A's, please raise your hand. Partner A's, please raise your hand. Okay, listen carefully. Here are the instructions. When I say go, partner A, you ask partner B questions. You source the questions from the 14 questions you selected. If you were not able to select 14 questions, you just select them as you go. Partner B, when you ask a question, behave like a human being and answer the question. Okay? Partner A, you don't have to take notes, but if there's a juicy piece of gossip, you can write it down. No one will report on the answers of their partners. When I say switch, partner B, it's your turn to ask partner A the questions. Okay? Are you ready? Partner A, go. Okay, switch. Partner B, your turn. Time's up. Hate to break this up. Okay, can I have your attention before the break? Stay where you are, okay? The principle, questions lead to dialogue. Dialogue leads to a connection and understanding, okay? It's funny. At the start, you guys were cold, looking at the notes without even looking at the person in front of you sometimes. But as you warmed up, the decibel level in the room went up. And temperature went up. Okay? It's the nature of conversing with human beings. Okay? How did you find that exercise? What was fun about it? What was fun? Knowing somebody else. Okay? What else? Connecting the dots. Okay? you can relate with. You know, a lot of commonality. What else? Hearing something new. What else?
Jenny? I'm finding myself asking questions that are not.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, it's just a guide. It's very good. It's just a guide. Okay? Did you enjoy talking about yourself?
Yes.
Honestly. You know, what I find, you can look at the most shy individual, but given the opportunity, they open up. Now, if that was so much fun, why don't we do it more often at work? Too lazy? We're busy? Not enough time? We'll talk about time after the coffee break. But why don't we do this?
We don't see it as important.
We don't care. So I hope you're realizing, you know what? A lot of people are aching for a conversation. Okay, now let's bring this home. Your kids are aching for a conversation. As opposed to, have you done your homework? Okay. Your friends are aching for conversations. Okay.